Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Monday edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We appreciate you listening to AFR, and certainly hope you had a great Easter weekend celebration with your family. And it's off to a new week here on American Family Radio. Guess what? We all celebrated Easter, but what were we talking about on Thursday? The problems? Good morning. They're still here that we have to deal with as a country. But, you know, it's always great to take a pause and to think about the greater things in life, the more important things in life, and that certainly is our Christian faith. Ed Vitagliano is with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Well, good morning, Tim.
Did I do a super job of spiritualizing that right there or what?
It was awesome.
I think so.
However, I am a little bit depressed.
How's that?
Now that you told me that the problems are still here.
Well, they didn't. Yeah. Well, because we have sinful man still on planet Earth, Ed. That's the reason why the problems still exist. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
Well, good to have you. And Fred Jackson, good morning to you.
Always glad to be here.
It was a special day for Christians all around the world yesterday, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, of course, our faith is in that. And we know that because Jesus rose from the dead, we can have life eternal for those who trust and believe in him.
I will point out that since I am half Greek, I have another Easter coming up this coming Sunday, which is the Eastern Orthodox Easter.
Oh, yeah, you have dual Easter.
I have dual Easters. Growing up, I had two Easters every year. Well, there were a few exceptions when they fell on the same Sunday.
Oh, you're serious? You did?
I'm serious.
In your home?
Yeah, in my home, yeah. We'd go to the Greek side of the family. They were Greek Orthodox. And it all has to do with the formula about how they determine when Easter falls, what Sunday Easter will fall on. So the Orthodox Easter is this coming Sunday. Yeah. Oh, there's an equinox in there. Always.
Right.
There's always an equinox.
Got to factor
full moon. There's something.
Got to factor the tidal waves. A lot of factors go into that.
So I know we do have some some Orthodox listeners, and so I just wanted to say that don't get any emails.
You wanted to acknowledge that there are two Easters, but the majority of Christians,
Catholics
around the world,
and Protestants, Easter was yesterday.
Yeah, Walker. What are we doing on the internet today, sir?
Yes, we're live streaming as we speak. We already have about 20 folks watching the show this morning. And many folks, I know they're faithful when they go and watch the show before I even mention it. So they're waiting on the live stream there. We're also on YouTube.
If you're watching live, no, I didn't use sunblock Saturday. So I know I have a tomato head. Okay, you don't have to comment on that.
It's actually not as red as I've
seen
it.
Is it not?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
yesterday
you were golfing.
It was pretty bad.
Talking about golfing Saturday.
Yeah, I went out.
Probably questions about your shirt, though.
Yeah, baseball shirt. Well, yeah. I wear this shirt. I have a baseball-oriented shirt today. I wear once a year, maybe twice a year, to sort of commemorate the beginning of pro baseball, because I grew up loving that, so I wear this shirt. I like baseball in general, but thus explains the shirt Fred pointed out. Go ahead, Walker. I interrupted your internet thesis.
Well, lastly, you can listen to the show at AFR.net 24/7.
Yeah.
So that's assuming you're not listening to FM radio, but you can always listen to the show on the internet, AFR.net.
All right. Thank you for all those who also listen on our AFR app around the world. Fred, what's happening what's happening this morning?
Well, I just want to mention there's another sport that's very important, too, and that's hockey.
Yes.
It's NHL playoffs starting.
Well, coming up next week.
We are losing listeners in droves, but go ahead anyway.
April 11th, folks. Set your calendars.
All right. Ed will be wearing his Boston Bruins.
I have a Boston Bruins t-shirt. I will. I can't. I'll do that.
I'm Nashville Predators. Go Preds.
You're a Chicago. You're a Blackhawks fan.
You didn't have to bring that up, didn't you? Since Chicago's not going to be in the playoffs, I'm not going to wear their jersey.
Nashville's for real. They're beastly.
Yeah.
All right,
Tim. Tim, you know this.
NHL. Oh yeah. NHL. NHL playoffs on the way, huh?
Yeah. It'll last for 2 months.
I know. It is crazy.
We're going to be talking about NHL playoffs
in May
if Tim allows.
No,
us.
We're not. But anyway, hey, I'm sure hockey's a great sport if you understand it.
That's right. That's right. It's a fast sport. All
by
right.
By the way, speaking of sports, I don't know how many people saw that miracle shot by the Notre Dame Fighting Girls. Irish women yesterday.
What a yeah. shot.
Hmm. Yeah, they
shot
played,
of a lifetime.
Walker and I were watching it together. We're Mississippi State alumni, so we were hoping for one national championship in our lifetime. It doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah, last night was your chance.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought to myself, you had to, I don't know, even if you're not a basketball fan, you've got to watch that shot. This girl for Notre Dame is tied up, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's 3 seconds left in the game, right?
Okay.
For the national championship. And the girl for Notre Dame gets the ball and basically flings it from almost falling out of bounds on the sideline with a hand in her face by the girl from Mississippi State, Bivens, and the ball swishes the bottom of the net. That girl could try that shot 100 times and probably 95 times miss it.
Yeah.
But it hits the bottom of the net. And at that moment, I thought to myself, this is Notre Dame on Easter, and they win with a miracle shot. Maybe God is Catholic. I had to at least consider it.
Well, that's what I said. It was a once-in-a-lifetime
as a Protestant boy
shot.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
I mean, that was an incredible shot to win it.
Yeah.
And you see the ball going up. It yeah. leaves her hands. Then you see the backboard turn, the light turn red because you know time is up. Switch,
well, it was one of those things where, you know, you're a kid in your backyard.
Yeah,
right.
And this girl's
mm-hmm.
probably a kid in her backyard. She's 6 years old. She loves basketball. She's saying 5, 4, 3 to win the national championship. 2, 1, swish, you know.
Yeah.
That really happened.
Yes, it did.
That really happened in that young lady's life.
That was quite a game.
For Notre Dame. It was a great college basketball game. Anyway, all right, Fred, back to the real world.
All right, let's frame the opening story. Everybody in our audience is familiar with how negative the media is against President Trump. And he's being – yeah.
Have y'all heard this?
Breaking news. Fred, what are you talking about?
Y'all heard this? Fred, inform, enlighten us.
Breaking
news. The mainstream
news.
Media is against President Trump?
Just detests him. You're probably also familiar with Democrats don't like President Donald Trump. You're also probably familiar there are a bunch of Republicans.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're respectful. Like they're respectful.
Irrespectful.
No, they're respectful.
Here's the breaking news. The Daily Presidential Tracking Poll, the Rasmussen Report's Daily mm-hmm. Presidential Tracking Poll from Monday, shows that 50% of likely U.S. voters now approve of President Trump. This is absolutely amazing. Remember how far he was down just a few months ago?
Right. So, high 30s.
So I preface all of that before that giving that number. What is it? And I'm actually encouraged, and it's not so much by the number. I think the American people have stopped listening to the mainstream media, at least a lot of them, and they're not listening to the Republican Jeff Flakes and John McCain and Susan Collins and on it goes. But they like... Here's what the conclusion from this poll. They understand that President Trump is trying his best to live up to the promises that he made on the campaign trail, and the people are starting to understand it's Congress that's the problem. The Republicans in Congress, they are the problem, not President Trump. And I find that very interesting. Just 15%, to back that up, just 15% of all voters think Congress is doing a good or excellent job. So 50% to President Trump, 15% for Congress.
And the problem for Republicans is they're in charge.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. when people are saying, I don't think Congress is doing a very good job, and Republicans are in charge of the House and the Senate, that's the kind of approaching storm that results in big turnovers
in
Congress.
That's right. And I think I think what he has found, President Trump, I watched, was it Thursday? I think he was out in Ohio. He was at one of these big events. This is where he shines, and he loves it.
Right.
He goes off script. He doesn't bother reading speeches anymore. And they love him. It's election campaign rallies again and again and again. And it's a winning formula for the White House people, the communications people. Get them out of Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 50% approval rating, that's Rasmussen is a – is that approval? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. Rasmussen is a very reputable polling firm, so I trust them. 50% when you consider – 50% normally of approval would be not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you would say, you're not in the 60s to 70s.
Right.
However, when you consider that – I think what's your, to your point now, Fred, is – how President Trump is beat up day after day after day by the mainstream liberal media, by the Democrats, and even by some in his own party, it's a miracle that he's even above 40, quite frankly. And he wasn't for a while. For a long time there, wasn't he around 38, 39%?
Yeah.
And then I do think the results of the tax cut package, Walker, that passed in, was it December?
Yeah.
Having a very positive effect on the economy, which reflects good on President Trump, and I think the people are seeing that, and that's the reason for his wonderful 50% approval rating.
Yeah, and the congressional disapproval at 15%.
But that's always been like that, don't you think?
Yeah, but that's
people hate Congress, but they love their congressmen.
Yeah, right. But that should cause Congress to reflect. Mm-hmm. And I think that's frustration in both Republicans and Democrats. I'm not sure how long you can ride the tax package. I don't know if you can ride it into November of 2018. I read a story the other day where they're scrambling on what they're going to do for the next year.
Nothing.
Or six or 8 months. So.
As long as the Republicans allow the Democrats to block him in the Senate with the 60-vote rule, they will get nothing done legislatively except what they can do once a year with the reconciliation or nuclear option. So
right.
we've talked about that ad nauseum. That is the fault of Mitch McConnell and the Republican senators.
But here's the headline on the next story.
Yes.
Trump calls for border legislation using nuclear option. He is extremely frustrated.
I wouldn't drop nukes on the border, I'll tell you that. I think his 50% level is going to go down.
Just a little bit.
Because those folks in Texas are just not going to put up with that fallout.
Right.
Do you think, Ed?
They don't want a nuke dropped on their border more than Mexico
that's
would.
That's right. So I don't think that's a good idea.
He tweeted out, the president did this morning, the U.S. must build a border wall, but argued that, quote, Democrats want no borders, hence drugs and crime. He also said that a deal to help Dreamer immigrants is dead because the Democrats didn't care or act. I think I would share that with the Republicans, too, because they're part of the problem. Now, here's the backdrop to these latest tweets. You may have heard over the weekend, if you turned on your TV to watch some news, there are anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 people who have come across the southern Mexican border from Honduras. And with the help of Mexican government agents, they don't have any paperwork to be in Mexico, no passports. They are headed for the U.S. border as we speak. And so that's what's prompting this.
Now, this happened, excuse me for interrupting you, but this did happen when President Obama was in office. Remember this about 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But except you had like 15 or 20,000 or more.
Yeah.
And they came up from Central America. They came right through Mexico on trains. And they came right into the U.S.
Yep.
And remember, President Obama didn't want to go down to the border because it looked bad on him because he was letting them all in.
Yeah.
And then telling them the catch and release went into effect. Basically, they just let them all in without, you know, and that was highlighted the ineffectiveness of our border policies.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, President Trump ran on. It'll be interesting to see what President Trump does here. When these people get to the border, you know, I feel sorry for these people, as anybody with a heart does. If they're leaving they're leaving a terrible living conditions in Honduras, wanting to come north for a better life. But you're so on a human level, we have compassion for anyone who has those circumstances. But America can't take in everybody who wants to come here because they have a bad life somewhere else. It's up to these people to clean up their own country, all right? And I know that sounds it's easier said than done because you have corrupt governments around the world that have gone on for centuries and centuries. But I'm just telling you, we can't just because if that's the case, let's take everybody around the world who has who wants political asylum or who wants asylum because they have bad living conditions. If we do that, our country's swamped. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And and we are. That's the reason one of the reasons President Trump got elected. Because people said we have to have law and order here. Mm-hmm. But we can't just have people let everybody in who wants to be in here. Of course, the Democrats are for exactly that. They're for swarming and swamping the country with these kinds of folks. And they'll, in the name of, you know, ending the Republican Party, but ultimately will be the death of America mm-hmm. if you let hundreds of thousands or millions of people here come illegally. Don't even know who they are.
Yeah,
this is going to be a test because what's President Trump going to? He's the commander in chief, and is he going to tell the National Guard to stop these people from coming into America?
Let me ask you this: this may seem like an extreme solution, but since he can't get Congress to act, including Republicans,
he can't get the Senate to act.
He
can't.
That's fair.
The House Republicans take sometimes an unfair hit. Not that we don't criticize them, but it's the U.S. Republicans and the Senate Republicans that are the real culprit here, in my opinion.
That's true because they will not pass legislation.
Right.
We've been through that.
Right.
So,
right.
But is it possible for us to say, for the president to say, I am stringing the National Guard across the border, and nobody from south of the border, from Mexico, even people with visas, your visas are canceled. I'm going to give you, 2 weeks. Nobody from Mexico is coming into this country until the government of Mexico secures the border on their side.
Yes. Because
what Fred just said, this is an outrage, where Mexican government officials are leading Hondurans. They let them into their country with the express purpose.
Passing through
to let them into our country.
Yes.
We ought to say nobody from Mexico gets into this country, legally or illegally, until Mexico shores up its side of the border and stops this nonsense.
Yeah, Mexico gets the best of both worlds. They have basically tourists travel through their country, spend money on food and whatever supplies and coyotes.
And pay coyotes.
And then they leave. There's no burden on Mexico. They're just
people aren't tourists.
Well, but the way they go throughout the country is like having tourists.
Oh,
they stop in this town and they spend some money for food.
And the state has no responsibility for them.
Let me play a clip of Brandon Judd. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. He's the president of the National Border Patrol Council. That's the union representing border agents. Now, basically, so everybody understands, this is what's going to happen under the existing catch and release that was brought into play by Barack Obama.
Excuse me for interrupting. Yeah. Are you talking about this is likely to happen with these 1,200 or 1,500 people from Honduras who are coming up through Mexico right now?
Under President Obama's catch and release, which is still in place.
Okay.
All right. Have a listen. This is Brandon Judd.
First off, you have got a Mexican government entity that is assisting these individuals to come up to the United States. That's Grupo Beta. These individuals do not have passports or legal documents to be in Mexico, yet you've got a Mexican agency that's helping them get to our border. You've got Sin Fronteras, which is a quote-unquote humanitarian group that's helping them get to the border. They should be prosecuted here in the United States. So there's a lot of things that are going on. But when they come to the United States, when they cross the border illegally, the reason that they openly do it is because they know that the catch and release program continues today. When we catch them, we'll take them to, we'll arrest them, we'll take them into custody, we'll take them back to our stations, we'll process them, and we'll set them up for deportation proceedings. But they'll never see those deportation proceedings because what happens is we'll transfer them over to the custody of the Immigration Customs Enforcement, which is ICE. They'll then process them, and they'll release them with a notice to appear in which they're supposed to present themselves before an immigration judge about 2 years from now, but they never show up for their deportation proceedings.
Who is that?
This was Brandon Judd. He's head of the union that represents our Border Patrol.
Wow.
So he says Border Patrol processes them. We pass them on to ICE. They process them. And then maybe in 2 years they get a deportation.
It's a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah, it is. Which is why you need a wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, folks, about the wall for just a minute. You might say, what's the need for a physical impediment like a wall? I mean, can't you just stop people with drones or whatever like that? If you had a wall that President Trump was elected on, by the way, by the American people, at least enough to be elected president, that was a signature issue of his. If you have a wall, I'm talking about a real wall, like many countries do, to impede or to stop people from coming here illegally. These folks from Honduras now who are traveling up through Mexico to get to the U.S. Would not come here. The reason they would not come here is because word travels back to Central America or to Mexico or wherever, and somebody says, oh, well, we're going to go to the U.S. And their fellow citizen says to them of their Central American or Mexican, they say to them, well, you can go if you want to, but let me tell you what you're going to meet when you get there. A 20-foot high wall with, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be as easy as just walking across the border anymore. That stops people from going because they don't, huh?
Right.
Because
yeah.
they know they're not going to be able to, or at least it's going to be highly, much more difficult than just walking
and,
across the border.
And if the border agents never come in physical contact with the illegal immigrants, then there will be no deportation proceedings and catch and release because there's no physical contact. One person's on one side of the wall, our agents are on the other.
Right.
Only if they climb the wall do you then arrest them and do the proceedings.
Right.
But one thing, and this, people may disagree with this, and I may be oversimplifying it, but I don't think you have to have a proceeding, a two-year-out court date for someone you just caught at the border.
Exactly.
If they cannot provide a passport, an ID, they're not in our citizenship database, they don't have a Social Security number, no proof of citizenship, and I just caught them crossing the Mexico border, there's no due process. They're not an American citizen.
Right.
They're not required for due process.
Right.
I would take their fingerprints. If they need water or food, feed them, whatever, maybe a shower, and then you have the bus waiting outside, and you line them back up on the bus and back to Mexico.
That sounds like due process to me.
That is due process.
That is due process.
Well, here's the joke. Today, if I wanted to travel, let's say, from Nashville to Toronto, Canada, they would not let me on the plane in Nashville unless I had a passport, an American passport. You don't go. Or if I drive up to the Canadian border, if I don't have an American passport, I don't get to go in.
Right.
These people know they're showing up at the southern border, and there's a process that Barack Obama and the gang put in
place. They're relieved to get to the American border and be processed.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't have to stand out in the Mexican desert anymore and walk miles and miles and miles.
Right.
They get
to
America. They get met by an ICE agent or a border patrol.
I'd turn myself in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if I was them.
They drive them to the station, process them for a day, and then they're out
into
the country.
They take advantage of our compassion.
Right.
And I could see why they would. So it's not an unwelcoming process.
Right.
It's kind of welcome to America. You know, show up here. Would you be back in 6 months or 2 years? Can you tell us you will be?
Absolutely, I will. Thanks. Can count on it.
Thank you. We'll see you later. I mean, that's just it's a joke. That's why. Yeah, they take advantage of our compassion, quite frankly, and unless you have a wall to stop them from, unless you can put them back on the other side of the wall. That bus you're talking about, Walker, only takes them back where they can march back across the country, quite frankly.
That's right.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
I think that the whole notion that Jesus loved everybody and he cared for everybody. You know, Jesus, according to the left, was a socialist and, you know, would have given anybody anything and just was sort of a modern day metrosexual dude.
We'll also hear news and analysis from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour is full, and our September trip is filling up fast. So if you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon for our Spiritual Heritage Tour, you need to sign up soon. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of sites, including the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more. For all the information on this tour, September the 19th through the 22nd, please go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. And we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's a separate trip, but we put them back-to-back in case you want to do both of those tours. Again, that's in September. For more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. When social justice warriors started toppling Confederate war monuments, I delivered a stark warning on this radio station. I warned you the cultural cleansing of America was only just beginning. And sure enough, people began targeting George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, calling out our founding fathers for owning slaves. It did not seem to matter that Thomas Jefferson proposed ending slavery, just like it did not matter that Robert E. Lee spent the final years of his life reuniting the nation. And that brings me to the latest movement, led by Native American activists, demanding that one California town take down a monument honoring President William McKinley. They say McKinley supported policies that led to the murder of Native Americans. The town council has already voted to remove the statue. So it's only a matter of time before another piece of American history is erased. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. Appreciate you listening. I'm Tim with Ed Walker and Fred, and we hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was a real event that did happen 2,000 years ago, and it's that reason we have hope. We have hope for our life, our lives changed here while we're on earth, and then ultimately when we die, and that's 100% of us, we go to heaven when we die. The Bible says we go to heaven or hell. And I don't know, the Pope got in trouble with some folks.
Stirred up a hornet's nest.
Did he say that hell doesn't exist?
Well, part of the question is he apparently has a friend who's an atheist, who's also a journalist, and had a conversation. And this atheist journalist, I think he's a journalist, right, Fred?
Yes.
And he reported that the Pope said there is no hell, that people who have repented go to heaven. When they die, people who have not repented are just what the doctrine's called annihilation. They cease to exist. Now, the Vatican is denying that the Pope explicitly said that. I think there are actually what they're saying is that this atheist journalist did not produce an official transcript of the Pope's words, but it has stirred up a hornet's nest. Because if the Pope says that, it contradicts 2,000 years
Catholic teaching.
Of Catholic teaching, and that would be a a theological catastrophe.
Now, what I read, what I read was a direct quote from the Pope.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a he may have been misquoted.
No, that's what the Vatican is saying, okay, is that what this atheist is quoting the Pope as saying is not accurate.
The Pope never said.
They're saying he produced a transcript. But this, now this journalist is known for not taking notes and not recording interviews. So I don't know where this is going to go from here.
Okay. So it's a he said, he said?
Yeah, kind of thing.
Well, the Vatican is saying it's a misinterpretation. I think what the Pope has to do is come out and say, I never said that.
Right.
And he hasn't done that yet.
And he needs to come out and say, there is hell.
Yes.
That's what
he doesn't believe in it.
Well, that would be my question, because this Pope has also said some other things that are at least questionable. For example, his stance on homosexuality. He said, well, when asked if it's a sin, can practicing homosexuals, but he said, well, who am I to judge? That was very controversial. That was early in his...
I just know I have some conservative Catholic friends who don't like this Pope.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you... I'm not a Catholic, so I don't know how you deal with church hierarchy exactly. Your disapproval when you're supposed to have... You're supposed to have almost reverence for these people, aren't
right.
you? Huh?
As of course, you know, John Paul, you know, the liberal Catholics didn't like him, or Pope Benedict. So they get it from either side, but you should at least show some reverence. But I think this, my personal opinion is that this...
Reverence or respect?
Well, it would be the same.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, okay.
This Pope, I think, has socialist beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Latin America, and I think that has entered his theological...
But socialist beliefs can be... socialist beliefs aren't necessarily unbiblical in an explicit way. Okay, I would just say, in other words, you might say, I care for the poor.
Right.
Okay, you're talking about government or personally?
Yeah,
right.
Well,
that's true.
A socialist teaching might say, well, both, or if the government. Well, okay, how much? I mean, you get into
right.
the principle of caring for the poor is a true one, whether you
yeah,
want to call
right.
that socialist or not. How do we best do that is another question. But so those kinds of things, I go, you know, those are kind of unwise, but they don't necessarily, they're not necessarily, quote, heresy.
Mm-hmm.
But now you start talking about
no hell
doctrinal things that contradict the teaching of
Jesus,
then you got a problem.
You do.
I go back to what I said. This has been 4 or 5 days since this story broke. The only way for the Pope to resolve this is to come out and say, no, I was misquoted.
And he hasn't?
And he has not.
Only
done
a
that.
Spokesperson for him?
The Vatican says he was misinterpreted. But
right.
I think the Pope himself has to come out and say, no, I did not say that. I believe in the Catholic teaching that there is a literal hell.
The problem with that is, I would suspect, I would give him the Pope the benefit of the doubt and say he's an honest man. And if he's an honest man and he did say it and didn't intend to be quoted publicly, he's not going to lie. So he's not going to say, I've been misinterpreted or misquoted. He would have to come out and say, I did say it, but upon further reflection, I need to say this. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If he says, yeah, I did not say it, and he did say it, then he's lying
right.
about the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I give right. him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's honest. And now he's in a quandary. Maybe he didn't expect this journalist to quote him, but it's out there, and he's got to do something.
Well,
with it.
Then his silence makes it suspicious, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
What are you going to say, Walker?
Well, I was just going to say, like Ed said, I mean, either you said it or you didn't. And if you didn't say it, and this journalist slash whatever he is lying, flat out lying, then he should be outraged. The Pope should be outraged. And I don't know why he's granting this guy interviews. This
is the first time.
Yeah,
not the first time.
Multiple interviews, and the guys,
they're friendly.
The quote journalist is known for not taking notes, not taking recordings. Mm-hmm. He has chats with people, and then goes and I don't know how you recall.
Well, that's the Pope's fault.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We're doing an interview with somebody like him. If you want to have lunch with him off the record or something like that, but I mean, you can't do an interview where there are no notes or tape recordings taken, because you risk being misquoted like this, and it's a huge story.
Right.
And, you know, but it's interesting that to me that the Pope hasn't said that he didn't say this.
Because it is. This is 5 days on. Yes. It came right before Easter.
I know.
Huh?
It came right before Easter. I mean, clean this mess up.
How do you remove a Pope?
I don't know how you do that.
They usually stay. They stay till they retire. They die.
Or they die. I don't know about removing them. I guess the Council of Cardinals. I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I don't know how they would remove one. There's been some terrible popes in history. I don't know that any of them were removed. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
What else? Do you have something on this story, Fred? Anything additional?
On the Pope, we're on with our border story.
Oh, whatever you want. I just didn't know
if
we were
done with
the
story. Sarah Sanders, spokesman for the president, was on the White House lawn this morning. They're doing the annual Easter egg roll there.
Day after Easter?
Day after Easter, on the Monday. Anyway, so there were interviews done about important news stories out on the lawn this morning. You may hear the kids in the background when you listen to this. But Sarah Sanders this morning saying that President Trump, he offered two solutions for the DACA resolution to the Dems, and they rejected them both. So let's have a listen to what she had to say.
The president made multiple offers on DACA. He wanted to see something get done, and Democrats refused to actually put something on the table or work with the president to get anything done. They wanted to use DACA recipients as political pawns. The president wanted to make a deal. He made two incredibly generous offers that went far and above even what the previous administrations had done on DACA, and Democrats still refused to make a deal. And I think it's because we're getting close to an election. They don't want to see the president continue to win like he has for the last year and a half, and they're going to do everything they can, even if it means hurting people across this country, if they think that it takes a hit at the president.
So, yeah, he only gets, what, $1.6 billion of the $25 billion he wanted for the wall, and so the president is saying over the weekend, okay, no DACA. I mean, they...
Was he going to get DACA anyway?
Well, he had offered. His offer was to give a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million of these individuals. These are the young people who came in as kids with their parents. The parents crossed the border illegally.
Right.
He offered that. That was more generous than what the Democrats were looking for. But he tied it to, you must give me the $25 billion to build that wall. And they are, as we've talked about before, the Democrats and some Republicans, they do not want a wall. They don't, period. Mm-hmm. And this was an insult. This $1.6 billion, I think, that he was offered.
The ability to use concrete on the wall was that you couldn't use concrete.
Yeah.
There's a
yeah.
special policy in
well,
this bill.
He can't even use the $1.6 to build some of the wall. This is for repairs.
Yeah.
Well, now, he has talked about using some of that military money to build the wall walkers. President Trump's exploring that, isn't he?
I hope he does, but he's either going to have to learn how to defy a federal judge, or he's going to have to do something, because he's going to get held up. And then that's the thing with DACA is with these illegal immigrants who came in at a younger age, they're being protected by federal judges throughout the country who are holding up the executive branch from deporting them. And I don't know if that these rulings are temporary and they'll expire and then Trump will be able to do his job. But right now, President Trump's basically handcuffed when it comes to enforcing our immigration laws.
You're listening to Positive Radio here on American Family Radio. Fred, aren't we staying positive?
All positive all the time.
Yeah, all positive all the time. Ed, Fred, and Walker, and yours truly, Tim Wildman. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. You can watch this here show on YouTube or Facebook just by typing in Today's Issues Live. Today's Issues Live. We need to get your my grandson and your nine-month-old son up here, Walker, and get our ratings up.
I know.
Last time we had little Luke on our video, our viewership skyrocketed.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, he had his first Easter yesterday. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Well, Fred and I tried to get a little talk about hockey going, but you didn't want to have any of that.
Right.
You wanted to go right to the end of the world as we know.
Get our Yankee viewership up. Is that what we're trying to do with that? Talk of hockey.
There's a lot of people like the Nashville Predators. Oh, I see. Here I am going back to the hockey thing. Let's just go on to the bad news.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't want to derail our normal functioning.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. If you missed it earlier, President Trump's – you better get this news now before it goes down. President Trump's approval rating, according to Rasmussen, is at 50%. So evidently his base is staying with him. And so that's good news for the president. All things are relative in this polling and approval rating world, because normally you would say 50% is not good. But for 50% for President Trump, given all he's had to contend with and the negative press day after day after day after day, a 50% is actually very good in the opinion of a lot of people. And quite frankly, I'm trying to remember back, but President Obama didn't soar. Mm-mm. Either. We're a divided country. We're basically a 50-50 country. Mm-hmm. And so Democrat, Republican, but I don't remember President Obama's approval. Did he get up to 55 maybe, something like that? But he didn't get way up there.
I don't remember
either. But, you know, if I'm up for re-election, I'm a Republican up for re-election this fall, I'm looking at this headline this morning, Trump hits 50% approval.
Right.
I'm thinking I better invite the president at least come to my town, to my rallies later on this year, because he's popular and I'm not, because we also, part of the story is, we just talked to about 15% approval rating for Congress. So I better be seeing in pictures standing next to this president. Hopefully Trump will put his arm around me and say, I'm all for George here. Reelect George. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is an asset.
I would say he's an asset for Republicans.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know, anyway, we'll see what happens with that. But 50% for President Trump, at least today, is got to be a good sign, good news for him. I do think that the president needs to settle down the White House. This turnover, daily. Firing is getting to be a little much. I think, as Ed said, or somebody told me, President Trump had to, you know, him being new to government, he had to learn. He didn't know a lot of these people when he hired them.
I said that because that was brilliant.
Yeah,
I remember
it. It was, and very humble of you to do a self analysis there of your brilliance. But say that again, because that is important, I think, to note.
Well, all I was mentioning is that most individuals, most men who've been president, right. Have been politicians. So they come up through the ranks. They know other politicians. They know people connected to the political game.
They have a team.
They have a team, and they have an awareness of this guy over here or this woman over here does this. I've interacted. We have networks of relationships. Well, Trump came in, and he wasn't that person. So he almost had to learn who these people were and what their strengths were and what their beliefs were on the spot, on the job training. So I just expected a little bit more turnover than a normal administration. But all administrations in their first year do have turnover.
But yes. I just find this refreshing about the president. He's a businessman. You know, after, a year and a half almost being in that White House, he hasn't succumbed to the pressure to be a politician.
Mm-hmm.
He's a businessman.
Right.
All right. So, you know, person A over here, nice person, but not getting the job done the way I want. I need person B. So you're fired, person A. I'm bringing in person B. And whether it's Iran, whether it's the free trade issues, whatever the case may be, he's going to surround people who see his vision.
Yeah.
Which is a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get rid of the conflicts. Have people in there that are going to agree with you. Whether you're proven, history proves you're right or not.
Mm-hmm. Two great.
What about get out of Syria? Didn't he say he wants to get out of Syria? The president?
I'm not sure. I know he's withheld some money recently over the weekend, about $200 million in Syrian money going to Syria. But the two picks recently that I really like is Ambassador John Bolton is going to become the new national security advisor for President Trump. And Mike Pompeo to head the State Department. I think those two people are going to make a huge difference in that they're ideologically aligned with the president, which is important when it comes to foreign policy.
Well, the reason I bring up Syria, you know, that's a very complicated situation. But you know, it's hard to you just got a powder keg over there. You had civil war in Syria for what now 6-8 years, something like that.
A lot of people dying, different players.
Yeah.
In terms
now,
of
you got the Turks against the Kurds, and we're having to, you know, but the Kurds are have helped us in Iraq, and it just and now we're basically in another Cold War with Russia.
Right.
So and Russia's in bed with Assad, and
yeah.
it gets very, very complicated. But I thought I saw where the president said he wants to pull our. I didn't know we were in Syria that much, but I guess we've
done missions.
Yeah.
Specific missions in.
Is that out of where have we been doing that out of? Is that out of Iraq or
open
Kuwait
aircraft
or?
Carrier? I think.
You know, not that I have any special knowledge, but I mean, Turkey is there.
Yeah, we do have a base.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And was it Ancelik? I think is Ancelik. Turkey is one of our.
Yeah, that what
NATO
you're talking
bases.
About. That this was 4 days ago. So late last week, I guess on Friday, President Trump said U.S. will withdraw from Syria, quote, very soon.
Yeah.
We must just have some special ops units there.
Exactly.
And maybe some advisors.
Yeah.
I don't think we don't have troops on the ground.
You know, the whole Middle East situation when it comes to U.S. involvement, it's either, I don't think there's a win-win. Because if you stay there, people are going to complain, like Senator Rand Paul and others, and me at times, that, you know, we just need to get out of there. Why are we still over there sending troops, spending money? But if you pull out, I don't think there's a good way to pull out of there, because if you pull out at all, even if it's a slow withdrawal, it seems like the jihadis will just take it back over.
Which is what happened in Iraq.
But you got to crush ISIS. Mm.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep that wherever they are.
They're down to one city, I think.
Okay.
And they're fighting for their lives. But that now I think that is has something to do with our air power helping.
Well, also, when President Trump came in, he unleashed the military.
Right.
He did.
President Obama had the military with one arm tied behind their back. President Trump come in and said, go over there and take care of business against ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been out of the news for the most part. I think it's been out of the news, folks, for it's because it's been a very successful effort by our military, and the media doesn't want to give President Trump credit
right.
for that, you know, because it helps him
yeah.
if people think he and the military have defeated.
Well, ISIS was in the news because of their frequent atrocities.
Yeah.
You know, because they were controlling large swaths
right.
of that area. Now they've shrunk to one city.
Another thing is, seems to me, what do you call it? The word, the Arabic, is it the Arabic word for?
Caliphate?
The caliphate.
Yeah.
I don't know what, that's an English word, right? But it basically means.
Well,
basically,
it's translated, right, Ed?
Well, because of the caliph was, and that may be a Arabic word, was the leader of Islam. So
the caliphate, if you want to call it that, are a Islamic dominated Sharia law, you know, government, quote in quotes, is unsustainable. A society. I'm not talking about Saudi Arabia or Egypt or things like that, where there's no freedom, where there is some level of freedom. I'm talking about anybody under a Muslim must die by beheading type, and women are treated the way they do. I mean, a caliphate.
It's anarchy.
Sharia.
Well, a caliphate would be difficult because it's usually considered to be transnational. So it would control what we now consider to be separate nations.
But you don't have commerce. You don't have government. You don't have you don't have traditional things that go along with civilized society. You have so that's what I'm saying. It's I mean, how many people can you cut their heads off?
It's a wild west.
Till you run out of people. You know what I'm saying? There's no end goal except to rid yourself of non-Muslims, and then the Muslims start turning on themselves. Who's more Muslim than
right?
You know, I'm saying that caliphate idea. It had its moment of quote glory there for about a year and a half or 2 years in that Syria, Iraq area. But then that coupled with our bombardment of them and our military presence there, I think has caused ISIS to, as you said, be down to one city there in
I think it's in Iraq.
In Iraq,
is it Raqqa or Ramallah?
Raqqa.
I think Raqqa. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Where did that Chinese satellite ever go down? That was coming in from outer space.
Was it Tahiti?
It was near Tahiti. It was in the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, like, I was reading over the weekend, government officials in Michigan were preparing for it possibly. I don't know why they were doing that, but so it hit the ocean.
Yep. That's a long way from Michigan.
I guess it was one of those deals where no one knew where it was going to finally, you know, plummet. Mm-hmm. It was coming at a, you know, like at an angle, and at some point gravity would take over and it would plummet
to Earth. When did the people in Michigan know that they were safe?
I don't know. I was just looking at headlines over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was watching hockey.
They made the final four. You know, they won their final four game. So I wonder if they were, you know, the people outside looking up while they were watching the final four game on Saturday.
I don't know
the answer to that.
Okay. I mean, wasn't that? I mean, people, officials, government officials in Michigan were.
It's true.
Yeah, they were preparing for the possibility that.
Well, some scientists told them it may hit Michigan because they wouldn't just. I don't think they just.
Yeah, it was in some sort of descent, and at some point it just, you know, it's coming in at an angle and gradually descending from orbit, and then at some point it plummets, then it breaks up and pieces hit, and I guess it was probably, I don't know, it was coming over the polar ice cap, I don't know. Well, where's this going to wind up? And Michigan said, well, it might be us, so
put your cows
in the barn.
Look, the barn's going to protect you against the. What do you call that? It's not a meteor. It's, what is it? Just falling space debris?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what it is.
From a Chinese. I wonder if we'll have more and more of this because of the, you know, there's so much space junk out there.
Whole bunch.
You know, we might have this be a weekly thing now. I don't know.
By the way, I was just going to say this is from last fall, but the last city. The last remaining ISIS stronghold was in Syria. So I was thinking it was Iraq. But so I don't know what's happening on the ISIS front now. Maybe they're just scattered forces. But that was Deir Ezzor, extremist fighters.
Deir Ezzor, that sounds like the beginning of a novel.
Well, but one thing
sounds
is...
like it's some place in
Deir Ezzor.
Is if we defeat...
Hope you're doing well.
You know, we did, for the most part, defeat ISIS, but you still have, like, Boko Haram...
There's Muslim Brotherhood
All right, Fred, you got a minute left.
President's a multitasker. He was tweeting something else this morning.
Did he brush his teeth?
Sinclair Broadcasting. You may not have heard of it, but they own 193 television stations across the country. Big markets like Seattle. They're huge. They had their anchors over the last couple of weeks read this statement. The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. Some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Well, the CNNs of this world went ballistic over this because these stations were talking about the danger of fake news and the whole thing. Well, the president just couldn't resist. The president tweeting out this morning, so funny to watch fake news networks among the most dishonest groups of people I have ever dealt with criticize Sinclair Broadcasting for being biased, he said. So there it is. And the New York Times reporting said, Sinclair Broadcast, they're known to be conservative.
Because they said we're not going to be insert our personal opinion?
Pointing out the fact that news stations... You know, it's dangerous to our democracy to be putting out biased news all the time. So CNN was upset about that because they thought they were referring to CNN. And the president just couldn't resist it. So funny to see the people upset about Sinclair Broadcasting.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.